Anyway, I want to talk today a little bit about finances, about an entrepreneur. And before I get to my message, I have to bring out three particular situations or meanings to things that will help in what I'm about to say. Entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is in the helps ministry. We know that. Out of the eight operations, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the administration, the helps, and the praying in the spirit. But the entrepreneur is in the helps ministry. It's very important if you're an entrepreneur that you know that you're an entrepreneur. You can't skim off the top of God's money. And I'll explain that a bit. Entrepreneur, a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so. Entrepreneurship is the process of starting a business or other organizations, including, I would say, ministry, at least a part of it, of getting it started. Or he or she develops a business model, acquires the human and other required resources, and is fully responsible for its success or failure. It can also be a manager. That's why when we look into the unjust servant, we'll see that he was the manager, but he was also had that entrepreneurship spirit. But that's not our subject today. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. So number one was an entrepreneurship. The other one is to have a heart that is not the heart of a hireling, but the heart that is owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to have the heart of a hireling. It is not to make a deal with the Lord and say, if you pay me so much, I will go pastor that church. No. If you pay me so much, I will drive up into a province or go down into a state or fly across into Africa or India or China, whatever. But you have to give me this for doing that. If God is telling you to go, then you have to go, period. It's to have the heart of a servant. You need to be owned by the Lord Jesus Christ, not a hireling. There are many, many, many hirelings. We'll go on with that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Truly many are called and few are chosen. Many respond very quickly to the call to become a gospel entrepreneur because they say, wow, that's good. That means money. That means that me, myself, and I can make money and bless the church and have my hand into it and maybe even I'll pay them a good wage and blah, 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 blah. That's not what it is. Many respond very quickly to the call to become a gospel entrepreneur. That seems like a good call. And it is a good call. God has gospel entrepreneurs within his body. But the motivations are usually very self-serving. They desire to be first in this temporary life on earth. But when they find out that this call has nothing to do with personal profit, they choose not to follow Jesus. Just like the rich young ruler, by desiring to be first here on this earth, he was considered to be last in the trustworthiness of God's stewards. So that's number two. The first one was entrepreneurship. The second one was having a heart that was owned by the Lord. Because we need to understand a little bit about that for my teaching today. And I wish I had a number of times to teach, but I don't. The third one is mammon. The Lord says you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll be loyal to one and basically disloyal to the other. You cannot serve unrighteous mammon. You cannot serve it. He didn't say that it was kind of maybe hard to do. He says you cannot. It's impossible. Mammon. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16, 9, 11, and 13. There's only four places that Jesus talks about mammon, and that's the four. He says them, and then he says that you can't devote yourself to mammon, the pursuit of riches, and the pursuit of God at the same time. Mammon means wealth regarded as an evil influence or false object of worship and devotion. It was taken by medieval writers as the name of the devil of covetousness, and in the New Testament, it is material wealth or greed, most often personified, to represent a quality or concept by a figure in human form. In other words, it's a greedy idol. You'll either worship God or you'll worship money. Now, it's the love of money, by the way. It's not having the money. Please understand that. And we all know around here, but in case someone has not heard it, that you either, if you do not know who you are in Christ, meaning that you do not know that you are bought and paid for and yet you are redeemed and that you are the righteousness of God and so on, if you do not, you'll always chase it, run after it, chase it, bang, chase it. Or if you do have it, you'll do whatever you need to do to protect it. It's too bad. But many Christians are caught up in that. Somehow it's gotten into the point where good, godly, living Christians are fighting it. They don't mean to, maybe, and they know what's right, but they can't do it, it seems. Or it seems like they don't understand it, or it just seems like they don't care. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I wanted to explain them three. Entrepreneurship, a heart that is sold out to the Lord. He owns you, and mammon. Well, we all know that there's no money trees here. We all know that heaven does not have printing presses. Yeah, I've been in printing business a long time. Let me tell you, there's no printing presses up there. The money that is used day in, day out is here. But God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He wants people born again, and he can and will finance it. He's well able to finance it. But what we need to know is, how does he do that? Do you have a rich uncle that's going to knock on your door one day and say, here, I heard that you wanted to help start a church or pay pastors? Or you want to do this or that? I don't think that's going to happen, but God does have a way of changing the flow. It's kind of like this. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'd like to explain it this way before I read it. God will provide your needs according to his riches and glory, right? It's totally done. He'll do that. But over on this side, he will give you finances. And that is not your money. You have to put it away and either use it for when he speaks to you to use it. But sometimes the problem is that Christians don't know the voice of the Lord, so they don't know what to do with it. But you have to take that money and cause it to grow, even if it's interest just being put in the bank, knowing that it's not yours. God is blessing you over here. He's providing all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But he'll tell you what to put away and how much and how often. And then the day will come when he'll say, okay, that's for them. That's to do this with. Or, okay, you've built it up to a few hundred or a couple thousand or something. 1,000 is for this person. 500 is for this project. Or something, whatever, is for this ministry. Like 200 for Pastor Jim Martin. I know Pastor Jim and I know his heart. He's a giver. But it's really special when it comes from someone who says, hey man, I've saved this. This is for you. Because it's a divine connection, a divine appointment, and he receives it. And then God takes that and he uses it to promote the kingdom. He's not asking you over here to take your baby's milk or bread for your kids or to sow blah, blah, blah or whatever. But he is going to provide finances for you to take and put away. Many who are called to steward wealth for the kingdom of God in these last days are very, very familiar with this verse. And the verse is, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Correct? Proverbs 13, verse 22. The normal rendering is that there will be massive transfers of wealth from the world system of mammon into the kingdom of God through various means. And that is correct. But we've heard this now for years, so how? How? I know most of you's in here. I don't know if you've got rich uncles or not, but I would gesture to say that, hey, I don't think you's do that are going to drop $1 million in your lap. So God is training us and teaching us to have a heart that goes hard after him. So that when he wants to, he can do that and say, hey, every bit of that money, you can't keep one dime, goes to that person there. Well, Lord, I don't like that person. That doesn't matter what you like. I'm telling you to do that and be obedient. I went through this a number of years ago. And I'm not going to get into detail, take too long because I want to finish. But God showed me that even to my enemy, if he gave me $1 million, I was to give it to him, what would be the situation of my heart? I said, Lord, I would have to give it to him. But I would like to keep a dime. No, I'm only kidding with that. But I would give him everything if God told me to do that. So many are called to steward the wealth of the kingdom of God in these last days. However, there's another meaning to this verse as well. There will also be a transfer of wealth. Now we need to listen to this here. There will be a transfer of wealth from those who are called to be stewards of wealth but refuse to do it. Where do you think that wealth is going to end up? God is not going to give that to the sinner, but he is going to give it to the people within the body of Christ who are being obedient and who have a heart that is sold out to the Lord, A, and B, they're not afraid to be that entrepreneur, to give, to take a risk, to start something. Even if you're a pastor, even if you're a teacher, and if you can't do it, then you need to give it to somebody who can when God speaks. And God will tell you who, if you know his voice. If you don't, you'll probably buy a bigger house, a bigger car, wondering, Lord, when are you going to send some money? I think that he's already done it, and he's starting with tens and twenties and hundreds and fifties and so on. But we've missed it. Many of us have missed it. So for missing the 101, how is he going to bring us to the next level? Because our hearts are not sold out. We don't know the difference between a hireling and someone who is totally sold out, who has totally been bought and knows it, and has totally died to the things, the material things, and some of the takeouts that are listed in Mark chapter 4. Afflictions, persecutions, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things. It's very difficult. So there I suggest praying in the Spirit, because he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. What will he speak to you? He'll speak to you what the Father and Jesus Christ is telling you. He'll make the way clear. You'll build yourself up. We all know this. But that's another reason, because we have to come into the place where it's the church that is controlling situations, and not the mafia, not the bankers. God bless the bankers. Not the government. We need to take care of the bankers. That's for sure. But you get my point. It needs to be us. But it needs to be us who nobody may not know we have anything. But we have enough to support and to back something when God says support it. Instead of having our credit cards run up, our mortgages run up, instead of having just, we buy everything we see, we're impulsive, we spend, and we're losing out. Because God is saying, no, that's not what I'm giving you this money for. I'm giving it to you, yes, that you can live nicely and comfortable and have some stuff. But it's not about us anymore. It's about taking some of that money and starting another bank. And you know what? If you have that bank account, if you put it in the bank or under your mattress, whatever, until he speaks to you, it is not yours. It never will be. And he'll tell you continuously what to do with it if you know his voice. You see how important it is to know his voice? It's not only because of deception. It's not only because of great exchange. It's about understanding what he's doing today in our part of the vineyard today. In Luke 19, verse 20 to 26, and another came saying, Lord, behold, I'm going to read it in this version. It's the New King James Version in this one. I'm reading from Luke 19, verse 11 to 27. Now, first of all, a pound or a mina is approximately 4 months' salary in general. Now, as he heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. So he called 10 of his servants. He delivered to them 10 minas, which is 1 mina each. He called out 10. He gave them 4 months' salary each. He didn't say, this is for you to live off of. He said, and he said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Sounds even like some Christians today, unfortunately. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading or by doing business. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina or pound or 4 months of finances here has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a little, a very little, he says, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept and put away in a handkerchief. He said, for I was afeard, because you are an austere man. And that means a hard, sort of severe, tough in character person. He's a lot more than that. But you collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your mouth I will judge you. you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? First of all, he did not need that money, as I had said, to live on, because he buried it. He lived on God providing his needs. Philippians 4:19. This was extra money for him to make money for the kingdom of God. He did not do it because he was lazy, as the Bible calls him. He was afraid. He was afraid because he was nowhere near an entrepreneur in any way, shape, or form. He really didn't even respect the Lord because he took the money and he hid it. He could have took it to a bank and said, hey, gee, if I get some percent instead of one mina, maybe I'll have one mina plus one-tenth of another mina. I don't know. But he didn't do that. I was afraid of you. Another thing is, too, that this guy, he didn't know who he was. The other two were sold-out servants. They were first-class bond servants bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they knew it. They lived on their own means, their own job, their own working. This is over and above. The third guy did not know who he was in Christ. He thought that he was a hireling. And Lord, you have to pay me for me to work for you. You see that point? But the other two didn't think of that. They wanted to do this because they loved the Lord. And their hearts were sold out to Christ. And they knew who they were. So the third one, he hid the money. And I know that some people refer to this as talents. There's other parables and so on that talk about talents. This is talking about money. There are many people that hide their money. A lot of people even hide it for themselves for later. God is not happy with that. Verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him. Give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. People who do not accept Christ, basically, this is the group. They will be slain before him. So I just want to read a few points and then I'll close. What happened to the money that had been entrusted to him? It was taken from him and given to the man who had the most successful goings-on in his stewardship of the Lord's money. There is coming a transfer of wealth from believers who refuse to function in the stewardship to which they have been called. It's not just the sinners. Wasn't this third guy a servant of the Lord? And wasn't he a sinner as well? He was a sinner within the body because he was disobedient to the command of the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, I'm taking that from you. And I'm giving it to the one who is most successful. Now, the other guy who made 5, that's great. But he gave it to the one who had the 10. Because he was most successful. He worked the hardest. They were all given the same. So there's coming a transfer of wealth from believers who refuse to function in the stewardship to which they have been called. We normally think of the sinner in Proverbs 13:22. where it says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and it is. As being people who are not born again, talking about Proverbs 13 and 22, the wealth of the wicked, they're not born again. But there are born again people who are going to have their wealth taken away from them and given to people who will obey God, whose heart is sold out to God, who understands entrepreneurship or knows someone who can. Even David got all the money, but it was Solomon who followed up and built the temple. The fact of the matter is that God wants to really make us and cause us to occupy till He comes. This is no pipe dream. This is actual scripture. Jesus Christ said it Himself. So this guy had a heart of a hireling, knowing that the purpose of his trading was to cause an increase for the Lord and not himself. So he had no heart to spend his life in that manner. If it was not for him, he would not do it. And I'll tell you something. Some people may think, well, I'm hammering Christians. In the greatest, most love that I can muster, yeah, I am. When you see ministers going with nothing forever, it seems, and the pressures they deal with along with that, and people sit back and wait and give nothing, yeah, there's something wrong there. And I'm warning you, and this is for the benefit of the tape or CD, whatever it is, because I take it and I put it on my website, for them, God is going to take what you do have and He's going to give it to the people who will use it. Do you think He doesn't want the people out here born again? Do you think He's going to provide for you to walk in compromise as a Christian forever? There's a period of time, but I believe the time's come where God is saying, that's it. Okay, you've had it. You've flunked. In fact, I need to take it from you because it makes you so busy that you haven't got time for me. There's 168 or 78, I don't remember, hours in a week. You barely give me 5 minutes a day. Are you kidding me? And you're my servant? And I paid it all for you? And money, this unrighteous mammon that I have given you, you're doing nothing with? And over here, these people who are content need to become more content because they're going to know what to do with it. There has been a training going on. And I believe in 2015, a lot of this is going to happen. We're going to see people losing their money, losing their God, losing the mammon. And you don't have to be a millionaire, by the way. You can just be making money and a good salary and a good wage. And every time you do, it seems like something else comes along that you want. My dear father, when he was alive, he says, Mike, remember this? He says, every time you get something you want, something you need will come along. Well, that's partly true. But we as Christians need to take authority over the enemy and take authority over this thing, our minds. Shut it down when it comes to that. And start putting away and putting aside some money for the work of the kingdom. He'll provide for you, just like He provided for these guys. He'll always provide. But He's going to give you extra. And if our ear is in tune, He's going to tell you how much. The Lord has given me a number right now. It's a small number. But I have to apply it to that area because I'm building. I'm building. And I'm not sowing to reap. I'm building His money for Him. So that when He says, pull the trigger, bang. And I don't have to go to a person, if it's a person, and say, by the way, you know, God told me this, blah, 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 blah. You may have to. But they're just going to get something suddenly that's a blessing. Because I may have heard that, hey, they need something. They got 5 kids, they got 6 kids, they got 7 kids. And they're out of groceries. It could be as simple as that. Luke 19 and 26, for I say unto you that unto every one which has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. So this is scripture about what I've been saying. I'm actually saying, some Christians, wake up. The Bible actually says that. It says, awake, awake. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 14. But it does tell us to wake up as Christians. Revelation 3, verse 20 or so, it says, don't be lukewarm. Then it says, I stand at your door and knock. Do you know that someone pointed out to me the other day, and I hadn't heard this in decades, but it's true? The doorknob is on the inside. You ever see that picture with the Lord at the door, he's knocking? There's no doorknob. The doorknob is on the inside. It's up to you to open the door. And how true it is. What was it that the first two servants had that the third did not? They had a heart of a first-class servant. They were sold out to the Lord. In other words, they knew who they were in Christ. And how can we as Christians sit in church or walk this walk after 10, 15, 20 years and not know who you are in Christ with all the tools and all the persons, like a example, the Holy Spirit has given us. God has given us everything we need. He always causes us to triumph. Always. The first two had the heart of a bond slave. They were willing to spend their lives stewarding the pound to gain increase for the Lord and his kingdom, even if it meant no personal profit for them. The wicked servant hath not that kind of heart. Having not the heart of a true servant, even what he did was taken away from him. The pound and the money. That wealth was transferred forcibly, by the way. It was transferred forcibly. When the Lord said to the lazy servant there, he says, take that. He didn't say, may I have that. He says, take that. And he gave it to the guy who made 10. The wealth was transferred forcibly from him. Man, I can just see, honestly, and I'm just, my heart is breaking for some of the people that are going to be having to go through situations. They think they're all set. They think everything is honky-dory. And maybe it will be for another bit. But God's going to say, I gave you that to do that. You have no regard for me. So, it's gone. And I'm giving it to this person or persons or ministry or whoever that God is telling you to give it to. God wants us to occupy until he comes. And again, without having this first class servant's heart developed within us, we can expect that pattern to to continue. It's going to keep happening. But the ones who have the heart developed within us, if we allow the Lord to deal with us, we're going to have that heart of a first-class servant. And God is going to be able to trust us. And we're going to know, and I'm going to say this again, the money that He begins to give us, He's not going to pull out of your paycheck, maybe. And maybe He will. Maybe He will. Maybe He'll say, you know what? I want you to start putting some of that away. And that's between you and Him. And that's not yours, or your wife's, or your husband's, or your kids', or your grandma's, or grandpa's. That's not theirs. That's His. And He's going to build it. And He might say, okay, take $20 and give it to this single mom who needs milk tonight. Their kids have no milk for breakfast. Or He might build it to a point where He drops lots of money on you. Says, okay, now I want you to give it to this ministry. Or I want you to do this for someone. Or this person is traveling to another country. Let's buy their airfare. I don't know. I do know that the Lord has spoken to me on occasion with things like that. And I do know people that will not touch that money, no matter what. No matter what. They will not touch the money unless the Lord speaks to them. In any case, let's not be lukewarm. Let's take the year 2015. And I hear some people saying, well, it's hard, it's this, it's that. Yeah, did you stub your toe again? Really? Is it that hard? Excuse me, I'm sorry. But year after year, and I'm beginning to look for the prophecies that will come out from all over the place for the year 2015. And then I'm going to ask them again, how? You know, the Lord's going to be with you. The Lord's going to do this. The Lord's going to do that. Yeah, but what do we do? Where's our part? Well, the Lord is this. He's going to shine His light on you. You're going to be like, yeah, but how? How are we going to change overnight? Unless we do get to know the voice of the Lord. And I'm sorry, I love all you prophets out there. But tell the truth. Or give the other part of it. Or shut up. Either one. You're misleading people who are not fully formed or mature yet in Christ. And they'll give you such a good word. And then at the bottom or the side or the next page or the next letter or the next whatever it is, they're hitting you for money. And you might say, well, gee, and this is a point here you need to take. You might say, well, gee, Lord, I started this little bank account here, or it's under my mattress, whatever, and I've got maybe a couple hundred saved now, or, Lord, You've given me this, and I put it all there. I've been faithful. And someone is going to come along with the emotion. If we do not know the voice of the Lord, we'll operate in emotion and feeling. Oh, them kids need this. They need that. They need this. And they do. They do. Anyway, God bless you.